Today, we have a great guest who's helping mission-driven organizations turn their visions into reality with help in writing grants that secure the funding they need to thrive. Maybe your organization could benefit from this. Learn more next on the Church Solutions Podcast.
It's the Church Solutions Podcast, brought to you by StreamingChurch.tv. The Church Solutions Podcast is all about helping you and your church with technology and other resources for your life and ministry. Now, here are your hosts, Steve Lacy and Phil Thompson.
Welcome, folks, to another Church Solutions Podcast. We always do this. Nobody knows, but we always kind of have this thing before we count down. I always ask Steve how my hair looks, and that usually gets a laugh, and we've been doing that for like 20 years now. And actually, our guest has some pretty cool hair, too. So we'll get into that in a little bit. But we'll introduce our guest in a little bit. So my name is Phil Thompson, and he is Steve Lacy. Steve, how are you today?
I'm doing just wonderful.
All right. Good deal. It's going to be 98 degrees here in the Old Pueblo as we head towards summer.
Yeah. And yeah, this is going to be good. We'll see if I'm going to make it here because I'm the warm-blooded one in my house, or the cold-blooded one, I guess, because I'm part lizard, and I like it really warm, and my wife likes it cold, so in my office, I turn the vent off, and so that I don't get too cold. So I may get too hot. We'll see here, because I got the door closed and no vent, and it's going to be 98. You see me breaking out in a sweat, you'll know.
Yeah. Well, you and I are a lot alike. My wife wants it cold, and so there's always these thermostat wars going on, and it can get ugly at times. But my office is actually generally warmer because, I don't know, because the light's in here, and I don't know what the deal is, plants and everything else. Okay. So without further ado, let's get into today's podcast. I'm really excited about our guest today. I think it's going to be really beneficial for our listeners today. And because he's going to talk about how you can get free money. Well, maybe it's not free, but we'll talk about that later. So before we get into that, we do have a webinar coming up. Surprise, surprise. And the webinar is called AI and the Church, a clear guide for the curious and courageous. And our guest presenter is Jason Moore. Jason is an author and a speaker. He is dynamic. He is a lot of fun. He's excellent. You will enjoy what he does in this webinar. It's only going to be about 30 to 45 minutes long at the most. And he's going to talk about AI, how AI can streamline your administrative stuff for your church, practical tips on, you know, creating sermons with AI. And also Jason's going to want some live input from you if you watch the webinar live. And so you'll get a chance to interact with Jason and add some stuff to it. And then he'll talk about the ethical, and the biblical, considerations when it comes to using AI with your church. And so you might be asking, when is this webinar, Phil? Well, it is May 27th and it is 12 noon Eastern Daylight Time. Make sure I say daylight.
Day after Memorial Day.
Yeah. Day after Memorial Day, May 27th. That's a Tuesday, 12 noon Eastern. And if you're on another time zone, you're on your own. You have to figure that out. But 12 noon Eastern is what we talk about. So sign up. Go to webinar.streamingchurch.tv. And if you're not going to make it, sign up because you'll get a copy of it. But as I said earlier, it would be really pretty good if you could make it live because you get some input. You get to put Jason on the spot and you get to see what he does. It's a lot of fun. So here you go. All right. Okay. Are we ready for our guest, Steve?
We are. Let's do it.
All right. This is episode number 475. Although, honestly, I'm going to go back in the archives because I think we've done over 500 of these. But 475 is the official episode, according to Apple. Today's guest is the CEO and founder of a nonprofit missionary. This is about grant writing businesses that helps faith-based and community-centered organizations secure the funding they need to thrive. He's based in Cleveland, Ohio, fellow Buckeye. I'm from Youngstown, been to Cleveland many times. He's too young to remember WMMS, the buzzer. He's too young for that. But that was a Cleveland rock and roll station. Maybe he does. I don't know. He describes himself as the lazy urban missionary. We'll ask about that later. But basically, he was somebody who saw the need to grow ministries sustainably without burnout. And after navigating countless numbers of grant rejections early on, he learned what it really takes to get a yes. So over the past 7 years, he's helped six nonprofits secure over $1 million in funding. It's a joke. Transforming volunteer-run programs into organizations with paid, part-time, and full-time staff. So he's got a master's degree in nonprofit administration. Serves as the associate pastor of the Meeting Place Church in Cleveland, Ohio. And he's devoted husband to his wife, Shelby, and proud father of four. His passion is helping mission-driven leaders turn vision into strategy and strategy into impact. Please welcome Ken McQuiller to the Church Solutions podcast. I want to say, is it McQuiller or what is it?
McQuiller. McQuiller. You had it right the first time, yeah.
I had it right the first time, so I butchered it the second time. All right, so Ken's with us today. Ken, how are you today?
I'm good, Phil. Steve, thank you guys so much for having us here. I'm really excited to be able to share kind of a little bit more about what we do and also from the great state of Ohio. So
there you go. Yeah. We were just talking about the disappointing Cleveland Cavaliers, the always disappointing Cleveland Browns, but the Guardians. You got the Guardians, which are Cleveland Indians.
Guardians are doing Guardians. Good.
Yeah. Guardians are doing okay. And there's some other stuff out there too. All right, Ken. So kind of the way we do this here is Steve and I kind of go back and forth with questions. I will let Steve tee up the first question to you, Ken.
So being somewhat of a novice in this arena, and you know, our audience is primarily churches and pastors and tech within church, is grants an avenue for churches to secure some funding, or is that primarily how does it fit in?
Yeah, so I think that grants can be one of the most overlooked resources for churches, especially churches that do a lot in their communities. So if, let's say, a church has a food pantry, or they run an after-school program or daycare, anything that's like not directly Sunday morning service, I think there is a lot of potential for grant funding there. And I feel like there's a lot of churches that are potentially missing out on funding because they think that they don't qualify for it. But basically, a lot of these foundations, they want to see good people doing good work in their community. And as someone that's kind of in both of those roles, as both a pastor and leading a nonprofit, it's something that I think can really help, because while they don't necessarily fund churches, they want to fund good things that churches are doing because they know that it's people that actually care about the community. So I do think it's something that churches should look more into.
Yeah. So I know there's some churches out there probably thinking, if I'm going to involve the government, that means there's going to be some strings attached. What are your thoughts along those lines on how to be careful with that? And is that something that's common?
Oh yeah, definitely. Especially, like a question I get a lot is, can I talk about Jesus and still get grant funding? And to me, the answer is yes, because primarily when you're getting a grant, your number one goal and the number one reason why you're getting it is to do whatever that community need might be. So if, let's say, it is a food pantry, what you're doing is you're helping food insecurity. If they get Jesus along the way, that's fine. The biggest thing that a lot of foundations and government organizations push back on is discrimination among people of different religions. And if you have people that come in from that, let's say they're Muslim, they're atheist, whatever, you want them to come in your doors anyway. And you wouldn't push them out just because of their faith, because your goal would be to get them in so that they can hear about the one true Jesus. So so long as you are not excluding anyone in your programming, most places will be okay with you talking about whatever. Because like a lot of other places, they'll talk about, if they're not talking about Jesus, they're talking about something else, such as like New Age religion or spirituality. So in reality, like everyone has some type of religion. And if you're talking about yours, if you're talking about Jesus, it shouldn't be an issue.
So for most churches, do they have something already going on that's serving their community, and then they go for the grant funding, or is it something that you try to get a grant beforehand? What's the most common way this works with the churches?
Yeah, with grant funding, I would recommend that you already have a program that's started, because a lot of foundations would prefer to join something that's already going on versus starting a new endeavor, because at least if you have something going on, there's a track record. There's an example of, I was able to do this and have this type of impact. So I was able to serve 200 people with food over the last month, and I anticipate doing that. That's something that they feel a little bit more comfortable joining. So I would recommend, if you have something going on, yeah, get that going. Because also having the church as a backing, as a financial backer too, can kind of help give a lot of these funders a little bit less hesitation. Because like if you, let's say you're starting a nonprofit straight from scratch, it's really, really challenging to get grant funding because they don't have any kind of financial stability. But if it's coming from a church, the church is already supporting it through their tithes and offerings. They might have other people that are involved in it that way. So yeah, I would say look at something that you're already doing. Or if you want to do grant funding, start looking at the program first. And then after a year or two, look at pursuing grant funding in that way.
Yeah. So let me jump in here and ask you a question here, Ken. And obviously getting a grant it can seem a little overwhelming to somebody, which is where you come in here, but let's back up the tape a little bit. You mentioned you call yourself the lazy missionary. How did you get involved in all this stuff?
Yeah. So, I originally started out, cause I've been in Cleveland now 10 years. I'm originally born and raised in New York. Then came to Cleveland about 10 years ago. And we came through my denominations, the Assemblies of God, and I came as an urban missionary. So my job there was just to kind of continue to help support the ministry that was already happening here. And in order to get paid, I had to do itineration. So going around to different churches, asking for funding, doing mission services and things like that. And after a while, it just became way too much for me, and I just became lazy at it. I thought that by sending out letters of support, people would just start flooding money in because they love God and they love mission so much. But I didn't put in the effort that I knew I needed to do. So as one of the ways to try to get a quick dollar, I started looking at grant funding, because we have a 501c3 that's separate from our church that I'm like, I know people do grants, and I was always told in high school and college that I was a good writer, so grant writing should be no big deal. So I started the grant writing process. I just started applying for random grants, and lo and behold, I thought I was amazing, and God humbled me very quickly, and I realized that I wasn't a good grant writer. Wrote probably about 5-10 grants, rejection, rejection, rejection. But then I did realize that I do like the process, and I want to learn how we can make this work better. Because I feel like with grant funding, not only so that I can pay myself, but I feel like it's a way that we can take our ministry to the next level. So I made the decision to go back to school to get my master's degree in nonprofit administration, which kind of gave me like the technical skills that I use now to help take us to the next level. And so we started this grant process, me with the organization I'm with, probably about 7 or 8 years ago. And at that time, there was a few people getting like a couple $100 in stipends, like essentially paid volunteers, like you're getting paid for gas money. But now we're at the point where we have 9 paid full-time staff members that are part of our organization. Everyone also living right in the community, which is something we also really love. So being a lazy missionary to me kind of helped to bring about God's calling in my life, which I always think is kind of cool how God can use those really small things and those weaknesses in you to bring out a good strength. And it's something that, like, for me, I'm very passionate about, helping other faith-based nonprofits, helping other churches realize that there is potential there.
So on the grant side of things, help me understand, and again, I'm kind of a newbie here, is it is it local government, state government, federal government that's issuing the grants?
For me, I focus more on like local foundations that give out grants. Because also in Cleveland, we have a lot of foundation, like family foundations. Cleveland's a very philanthropic city. The Cleveland Foundation is the second biggest foundation in the country. So there's a lot of funding with that. But also a lot of what I work with is more of the local foundations. A couple of state ones, I don't really focus on federal ones, but I know that there are people that do.
Oh, yeah. And so do those that are offering the grants, do they set up kind of an open thing and say, we've got, you know, $500,000 to help the community, you guys write grants and we'll figure out which one we're going to fund? Or do they go through and say, I want to, you know, feed the poor grant, and there's a bunch of people doing, you know, how's that work with, as you're a grant writer, are you trying to get picked out of the group, or are you trying to address the desires of the grant? How's that work?
Yeah, so that's a good question, because there's kind of a huge range there. There are some where they will only reach out to specific people that are doing what they're looking for. So it's also known as like an invite-only grant. So they'll ask you, like you can reach out to them, but like they'll give you the application and tell you to do it. There are some where it's anyone that's doing anything in your county or in your state. So we're based in Cuyahoga County. So anyone that's like doing any kind of nonprofit work in Cuyahoga County. But then there's also some that it is very specific to whatever your cause is. So if it is feeding the poor, if it's education, workforce development, like helping people in like get like jobs and things like that. It depends, because a lot of them are very different and every single grant application might be different. There's a lot of similar questions that they'll ask, but for the most part, every single one is kind of one in and of its own. So you have to kind of navigate that. That's kind of where like the grant writing tools come in, of when they're asking a specific question, you kind of know what they're looking for versus like if someone else is seeing it, they have no idea.
So do you have some stories of some churches on that did get the grants and what the impact was on their, on that particular nonprofit effort or that ministry they were doing?
Yeah, there's a homeless ministry that I'm working with now that they started the grant writing process about 6 months ago. And as a result, they've seen a lot of growth just in the relationships that they've built, and also being able to build new networking based on just the idea of grant funding. So they've gone from like helping about 20 or 25 homeless people a day to like being in an actual homeless facility. And being able to like network and resource all the people there. And there's like, I think they said 75 or 100 different residents at one time there. So that's one. Also, just in my organization alone, I've seen a lot of growth in being able to hire people pretty consistently. I'd helped an organization a few years ago they were doing a parade, and they were able to like, the parade was like tens of thousands of dollars, and they were able to get grant funding from the city, like for the first time ever. And they had a very successful parade, and they were really excited about it.
So I know this, your answer to these next couple of questions is probably going to vary a lot depending on the situation. But first of all, how much time does it take for you to help an organization get a grant? And then how long does it usually take for them to get it? And I'm sure this is going to be all over the map.
Yeah, that's a good question too. For some, it all depends on kind of where they are in the grant writing process. Like if they're like brand new, if they're a church that's never done grant writing before, it could probably take a couple months just to get to a point where they're ready to write a grant, because it takes a little bit of time to focus on what the program's looking like, what are some of the different outcomes and impact reports that we can then report out. And then also pretty much every foundation will ask for a budget, and kind of creating a budget and trying to figure out like not only what everything costs, but also how we're getting all of the funding, not just grants, but are you getting some from the church? Are you charging for your services? Things like that. So like if they're not grant ready, it takes probably about 2 months or so to kind of get to that point. If they are, it's just a matter of kind of pulling things together and starting to just write the grants. As far as timeline, most foundations will kind of give you a specific timeline. Like you said before, it kind of varies. For some, it's you can get it within a couple weeks. For the most part, they're usually about 2 or 3 months, because most foundations, the way that they work is you apply for the grant, and then their board and their committees that decide on the grant then have to meet together to like deliberate, figure out who they like, who they don't like, how much funding they have, and everything like that. And then typically most of the ways that it's set up is that the board then has to vote on it. And a lot of board meetings are quarterly. So typically it's like about, depending on when it is, like let's say if the application deadline is like early March, you might get the funding in like mid-May, June, something like that.
If I'm a pastor listening to this, and I'm, let's just say, hypothetically, in Tucson, Arizona, and I'm thinking to myself, you know what, we have a soup kitchen. I wonder if we could get a grant for this. Is this, number one, is this something you could help them with? I mean, you're in Ohio, they're in Arizona. Is that something you could help them with specifically, or do you refer them to somebody else, or if I'm listening, if I'm a pastor listening, you know, like, this is interesting. Maybe I could get some help here. What's your answer to that?
Yeah, I would say I can help them. What I can do is start by doing some research on potential grant funding in their area, because every area has like specific grants that probably work better for them. Versus like, especially if you're talking smaller churches that don't have a huge budget, a lot of times it's best to start more local and then kind of broaden the scope. So I can do some research on specific grants and foundations that would work for that particular area. And then I would work with them on like creating a plan, creating a budget and everything like that. So then they would be ready for grant funding. So yeah. And if it's something that's out of my realm of expertise, there are a few people that I can refer them to.
Yeah. And how do you make money on this? I mean, you got to feed your family. You got 4 kids, right?
Yeah.
And wife.
Yep.
So you got to feed her probably too. So otherwise she'll get pretty cranky. So, I mean, how do you earn your money? Because, you know, you need a worker who's worthy of his wages. How do you get paid?
Yeah. So typically I do kind of in two ways. I usually charge for my services. So I charge typically like a package type of fee. So for X amount of dollars, I can get you X amount of grants or write X amount of grants, because I can try my best, but sometimes grants won't fund for whatever reason. And so I usually will do that. But then the second way that I do is sometimes I'll write a grant, and as part of the expenses, I'll write myself as a contractor in that grant. So if let's say the grant is $10,000, $2,500 is for contracting grant fees. So then if when it gets funded, then that's also funding that I would get. So,
yeah, sounds like a good deal.
So there's, if I'm a church and I don't have any, I'm looking to do some community outreach, but I don't know exactly what I want to do. I would assume that maybe I should look at grants, because they're going to be highlighting what the greatest need is in the community. And maybe I want to align that. And maybe if things overlap, then that works. Is that a strategy that a church should take?
Yeah, I would definitely look at that. Because typically if like grants are going to be available for things that have the highest need. Like if you are in a community that doesn't really experience a lot of homelessness, you're not going to have a lot of homelessness grants, which honestly, like in Cleveland, homelessness isn't as big of an issue. So like there aren't a lot of homeless like grants to support homeless organizations. There's a few, but not a lot. A lot for here would be education, because the Cleveland school system, the district ranks like, I think it's like 590th out of 600 districts. It's like really, really low. So there's a lot of education funding here. So I would say that, yeah, like what is the biggest need in your community? You can probably tell based on the grants that are available. You can also tell based on just asking your congregation, asking local government. Like if you go to your city council or your mayor, they probably can highlight like, these are the number one, two, three things that are huge needs. And I would say, yeah, if you're looking to get grant funding, look for the greatest need, meet that need, and then the grant funding will follow.
Yeah, there's probably a lot of creative, as you were talking here and you said education, I'm thinking, well, you know, I'm a church. I mean, one of the opportunities would be take some of the seniors in your church, which a lot of churches have a lot of seniors, turn them into tutors, or so they're serving the community and get that whole effort funded. This, I mean, just, yeah, that's so is there a centralized place to go look for grants or to, you know, to see what's available? I'm not necessarily apply. Is there, or do I just got to make a bunch of phone calls? How do I know what grants may be out in my community?
Yeah. So there's a few different ways. Probably the easiest way I would say would be there's a website, the Foundation Center. They have like a directory. So if you're looking, say like after school program in Tucson, Arizona, they'll give a list of all the different ones that fit in there. It is a paid subscription, but a lot of libraries all around the country offer that as part of their like resource center. So if you were to like go to like the circulation desk at your local library and ask like, do you guys have the Foundation Center? Not all, but a good amount have them in there. So then you can just access that for free, create a document, write all the ones that you see down and start reaching out to them. There's other ones too, like Instrumental is another one, but also it's paid. And then also just kind of something that I do sometimes is I look at organizations that are similar to what I'm trying to do. And then Facebook stalk them. Look up. Because sometimes if someone gets a grant from an organization, they start bragging on them.
Hey, Dale, let me call you back.
I'll be like, I'll look and they'll be like, oh, the XYZ Foundation just gave us a $10,000 grant. Oh, well, I also do what they do. So let me go and reach out to them. You can also look at the organization's 990s. That's a little bit more technical, but foundations that give grant dollars, they're required to tell where those grant dollars went. So if you were looking up, let's say like the United Way or whatever, the United Way of whatever nation or whatever area you're in, they'll give you a list of all the different organizations they gave to, the amount, and also their cause area. So if you're looking at bigger organizations and seeing if they're fit, that could also be an option.
We're running out of time here, Ken, but I just think, you know, I started out in ministry in the late 70s, and I actually, one of my first ministries was street ministries. And I wish we would have taken advantage of, you know, opportunities for grants. I'm sure they were around back then. We just didn't know enough. But I just feel like, you know, there's maybe some people on this listening to this podcast going, I don't really care about this. But really, I think part of the church's responsibility is to reach out beyond the four walls, so to speak, and connect with the community and help the community. And I think this is a great opportunity. Grants are available to help, you know, help sustain and even push above what you want to do for the community. I think it's just a great opportunity. And I think more organizations, more faith-based organizations need to pursue it. And so that's one of the reasons I had you on today, because I felt like, you know, this is really something that I'm not sure everybody thinks about, you know, the typical pastor, you know, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong about that, but they didn't talk to me about that in college. But anyhow, I think what you're doing is great. So how can people get a hold of you? Do you have a website or something? I couldn't find your website. Maybe I just was not good at looking it up, but how can people get a hold of you?
Yeah, my website's still under works.
Grant. You could get a grant maybe from somebody yeah. to help you with that website.
Yeah, because that's something right. I need to build in there. But the easiest way is you can either reach out to me on email, nonprofitmissionary@gmail.com. Nice and simple there. Also, I I'm on social media pretty much every, close to every day. Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube at Nonprofit Missionary. So you can shoot me a DM there. Okay. Yeah, eventually website, but not yet.
Yeah, well, good. So, okay.
One more question here. What's yep. What are my chances? Let's say I'm pastoring a church and I've got a small thing going, and I can't afford it and I don't have time for it. But you know, maybe I can apply for a grant. What are my chances? What are the average return on application for approval?
It's hard to tell directly. For me, roughly, it's about 1 in every 5, 2 in every 5. Part of it also is hard to tell because, like, sometimes when you're writing a grant, it's kind of like a long shot of an application where you're like, it'd be really nice if we get this, but I don't know. But then there's also some that you're pretty confident, just as long as you have something on paper, they'll fund you. Part of it is just the matter of relationship. For some people, if you have that like strong connection and that collaboration aspect, and you've reached out to them prior, you'll have higher odds. So, hard to tell directly, but I would say roughly about 1 in 5.
Okay, that's good.
All right, leave it to Steve to ask for some statistical analysis on this thing. All right,
that's for
sure. So Ken McQueller, I get it right.
Yep,
has been our guest today. I don't know why. But he's been our guest today. But look, if you want to reach out to him and you missed all that stuff, you can just reach out to us, streamingchurch.tv. Just reach out to us. You can go to our website and chat. And if we're not there, leave a message and we'll connect you to Ken. I think, Ken, I think what you're doing is awesome. And we sure appreciate you being our guest today.
Yeah. Thank you guys for having me. It's been an honor.
Well, good. It's an honor for us to have you as well. And good luck there in Cleveland, Ohio. I actually always enjoyed Cleveland. I would go up and visit Cleveland quite a bit, and I always enjoyed that area there, especially the lake. But all right, well, folks, again, thank you, Ken. Thank you, Steve. And thank you, folks, for spending some time with us today on the Church Solutions Podcast. My name is Phil Thompson. We'll catch you again on another episode. Please take care of yourself and each other.